indifferent and penetrating to any kind of pretentiousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made himself, you could say, the self-formed enemy of any type of religious hypocrisy. He was so strong. Srila Prabhupada used to call it the cutting technique. And he would argue with anyone on any point where, debate any point where they were short of the absolute truth. Sometimes it's said that he would cross the road if he saw some kind of a sannyasi or swami or somebody who was from some kind of a bogus line. He would cross the road, he's walking down to the other side, and approach the person and say, "Why are you cheating the people?" He was really, really outspoken. He was called the Singha Lion Sannyasi because of his determination to cut through any kind of cheating, religious, pretentious religious lines. So I remember when I first joined in 1970, there was a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur above the entranceway to the temple on the outside somewhere. And when I would come to and from the temple, I would look at his picture and I used to sort of wonder what sort of person he was, because we'd also see that Srila Prabhupada on his bead bag by our arrangement had a picture of him. And he was always talking, "My Guru Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj," just as today devotees talk, "My Guru Maharaj said this, my Guru Maharaj said that." Srila Prabhupada would speak with the same familiarity towards Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So somehow, long before I found out any written information about him, I'd concluded that since he was our Param Guru at that time for us, that he must be he must like us, he must be really nice, and he must be easy to approach by us, even though he was so strict and so cutting. And somehow then I always had that feeling that he was very nice, but he was very heavy. And when I came here to, when I came to Mayapur one time, my husband was telling from some devotees who had studied his life that actually, in fact, he was like that. He was very, very, very penetrating and very, very strong as a speaker, but he was very gentle. He was very aristocratic in appearance, as you can see from many pictures of him. But he was very genteel, and one of the things he liked to do was he liked to carry with him some sweets. And when he would see the young Dhamvasi children, he would give them sweets. So he was very fatherly, but at the same time, when it came to the absolute truth, he was a very firm protector of truth. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time on behalf of his father, he attended a very famous mela that was being held, I think somewhere in Bengal, and the principle was, which is superior, Vaishnavas? Vaishnavism had no standing in society at that time, or Brahmanism? And it was a caste Goswami Brahman dominated society here in India. So of course everybody would agree that Brahmana was superior. Vaishnavas, they are something. Sometimes they have long hair, sometimes they smoke ganja, sometimes they beg door to door, sometimes they're like this, sometimes they're like that. They had no repute. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went, and actually there's a book which I didn't read fully, but that's available, of what he spoke at that time. It's in a published form. But he goes on first and he glorifies the Brahmanas, and he speaks about how they're the head of society and everybody knows their exalted position, and he mentions so many quotes to glorify Vaishnavas. But then, as he proceeded on, he turned it the other way and explained that actually superior in every way to a Brahmana is a Vaishnava, a real Vaishnava. That doesn't mean just ourselves because we have initiation and chant Hare Krishna, but somebody who's actually deeply absorbed and deeply accepted the Vaishnava Dharma, a real Vaishnava, is far superior to anyone within the Vanashram order. Because he will already have the qualifications of a Brahmana. They must automatically be there. And so much more because he's directly a worshipper of Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the end of this speech, everybody who was listening, at first the Brahmanas were very confident that he was coming to speak words in their favor. But by the end, all the people stood up and they were all ready to offer their respects to him for the extraordinary way that he had delivered his presentation. And this was his message. He was fighting very strongly, Srila Prabhupada said, like chopping down all the unwanted undergrowth to create a field for the growth of Krishna Bhakti all over the world. So without his preaching work in India, challenging, fighting against caste Goswamiism, fighting against this type of ism and that type of ism, and establishing all the time true Vaishnava doctrines, it would be impossible for us to come here and to actually have any possible way that we could be considered worthy of anything. Of course, we know ourselves what we're worthy of and what we're not, but we represent the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the preaching of Lord Chaitanya, that anyone from anywhere in the world, if they chant Hare Krishna sincerely and they take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya, they should be accepted into the family of Lord Chaitanya, and they will gradually become so much purified that they will have developed the qualities that were inherent within the Brahminical Vanashram culture just by their chanting of the holy names. This was his premise. We may see this actively around us, we may not, but this is the principle, this is the truth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his language was so intricate. When he spoke English, you thought he was speaking Sanskrit. It was incredible trying to understand him. There are examples in the Raya Vishnu book. There's one paragraph where Rupa Vilas Prabhu says, just like this, and he presents a paragraph, and you start into it. The first 5 or 10 words make sense. And after that, he's just using these extraordinary high English words and twisting them and turning them around in such a way that it might as well be another language. And Srila Prabhupada himself admits that when he spoke in Bengali, his Bengali was so high that he said, I also couldn't understand what he was saying. He said, but I was so attracted to listening to him, so I would listen and listen and listen to him. And he said, when he was suggested for initiation, even though he was not a sannyasi or a brahmachari, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I have noted him because he is interested in hearing. So I have a couple of quotes here that I will read to you. You'll have to pay attention to follow his presentation because he speaks. Now, of course, this is also a translation. This is not his original speaking in English, I don't think. But still, because the sentences are quite long, but they're very powerful. This is part of a speech that he gave when he was sending the first sannyasis to the West. This was in the early 30s. They were going to England and later to Germany. He said, it will be our duty, our only duty, to proclaim to all people that complete reliance on the transcendental absolute truth is by far the highest form of freedom and one that is infinitely superior to the partial, independent mastery over the distorted, reflected entity in the shape of this mundane world. By holding a straw between our teeth, we shall carry aloft the banner that real freedom of that real freedom to all persons. We should be constantly engaged in chanting the exhilarating name of Sri Hari by adopting as our fundamental enlightening principle that the highest path is the path of submission endorsed by Sri Rupa Goswami, with the further exhortation to cherish unwavering faith that He, a capital He, will always protect us. All persons of this world are really superior to us in every way as far as this world is concerned. All these matters are not any commodities that are fit to be coveted by us. We have no more higher desirable object than the pleasure of serving Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. The vowed service of the name, transcendental abode and the desire of Sri Gaurasunda are our only eternal function. It is no business of ours to be elated or discouraged by the praise or neglect of any person. We must be constantly alive to the duty of enhancing the pleasure of our Master by serving Him with perfect sincerity. We must not look upon the world being weighed down with a sense that is oppressed with a feeling of deficiency or otherwise, by the poverty or otherwise, or by the display of worldly erudition, rank, etc., of any particular person. This is all the state of forgetfulness of our real selves. We are merely beggars devoted to the chanting of the words of Sri Chaitanya Dev. May we never forget that all entities of this world are essentially proteges at the lotus feet of Sri Guru for helping the expansion of his service. May we always remember that they are excellent only if they are prepared to wait with the utmost eagerness on the particle of dust of the lotus feet of Sri Guru. And otherwise, they are all merely a mirage devised by the illusory potency for our ruin. So it may be difficult to follow his speech. It's of course easier to read than to listen to. But his words were very strong and very, very, very absolute. Like none of us can speak like that. I mean, I can't speak like that. I can read what he says. But in it I'll be thinking, oh, I don't know whether everybody will be able to accept this. Because it's very strong. But he wasn't like that. He had no qualms in speaking absolute truth. Absolute truth means that there is only one thing of value in this world, and that is to 100% surrender unto the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna and please Lord Chaitanya fully. This was his mood. So he was so strong. Srila Prabhupada, when asked one time about his Guru Maharaj, he said, "What can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man." So he was like this. He was a very powerful acharya. I'll read one other thing that he said. This is from one of his articles. He said, "The first duty of the messenger of the Absolute is to cut off our wrong impressions and to change our taste. It is a very unpalatable duty, but we shall make progress only by this regulation." Then he quotes from Bhagavad Gita. "You should be prepared for bitter words, for the undoing of whatever you have learnt. You should only hear from me, and I will take all responsibility." Gita gives this assurance. And he continues, he says, "You need not be anxious for looking after your interests. I will look after all your interests," quoting Bhagavad Gita, so Krishna is speaking. "I will look after all your interests. When you have surrendered unconditionally, leaving aside all acquired impressions, I will look after everything, and you need not any more be anxious about them." Then he's speaking himself. He says, "It is this temperament alone that will lead us to all that we desire. Hearing of transcendental sound and descriptions is the medium that should be taken recourse to. This alone is wanting. Firm affinity for serving the Absolute is the one essential criterion for being successful. The first thing to pray for, the first thing to pray for is firm affinity for serving the Absolute. The next thing," he says, after having us praying for this firm affinity for serving the Absolute, "the next thing is to abide by His providence and to wait for His messenger. A devotee of Godhead has no ambition for conquering the enemies of truth by his own unaided power. He knows very well that all power really belongs to the Supreme Lord. Unless this humility is realized, there can be no real service of Godhead. So his words, as I say, they go over our level of advancement, way over our level of advancement, because what for us is happening is Lord Chaitanya is trying to coax us. Come on, come on, like little children. Come on, come on, come on. Now sit down and study. This is A, B, C. We're studying the ABCs of spiritual life. We're trying to keep our mind on things. We're trying to put our material desires a little bit out of the way. We're trying to get over the top of our false ego as it does this thing to us and that thing to us and gives us so much difficulty. We're on this level, like little baby devotees, little children. And if we understand that, we have to understand that. For to understand that, first we have to compare ourselves with the heights of these personalities. And then we can see where we stand. And this can produce within us some humility, some humbleness, that actually it's no wonder that I have this problem and that problem and this is a struggle and that's a struggle, because I'm so much in the beginning stages of devotional life. And how am I going to succeed? So he is saying, you hear from these transcendental personalities who have firm affinity for serving of the Absolute. And it may be quite pinching to our false ego. That is why we have to go to Lord Shiva and say, please, could you help me? Could you put my false ego just over there for a few minutes so I can hear something that can come in and my false ego won't block it? And then we hear these things, and gradually what happens is by this association we grow, and we grow much more quickly. We have a tendency in our various places, all of us where we're serving, to compare ourselves with others who are also in our class learning ABCs, or maybe they're learning their EFGs or a little more. And we think, actually, I'm much more advanced than that person, and I know so much more than them, and that person's not very... And we compare ourselves on our peer levels very often, and we feel either elated or despondent by what we see. But we should rise above that tendency and compare ourselves on this level. And when we compare ourselves on this level, it reduces so much tension on that level. It just sort of goes away. Because we've got so many issues on this level, that level's... But look at this. So this is actually how we make advancement. We look at these great personalities and think, how could I ever get there? I have no idea how I could ever get anywhere near what they're saying. I could ever have any realization of that. And because we're looking up very, very high, what's very interesting and it's very real, what happens is, because we're aspiring for something very high, the little problems that are knocking us around, they get taken care of really easily. They just get taken and moved out of the way. That's not so important. That's not so important. Yes, I've got a problem with this. Never mind that. I can cope. That's not so bad. But this, and because we're looking up, up all the time, our advancement goes very, very quickly upwards. So this is why we come to these places and we pray and we hear these words far above our level of advancement. So far above our level of advancement. But then these people become like our heroes. Otherwise, we get diverted. We see somebody on television, they're a bit charismatic. We read about somebody that had a little bit of Shakti in this way or another. This person's really good at some sport. This person is very good in a movie or something like that. And the whole world is adulating. But we see ourselves in connection with these very, very deep and solid transcendental personalities. So we have only this few moments here, but these are really nice places to come back to by oneself and or with one of these books written about these personalities and just sit here and read and pray to them. So when I first came in Los Angeles and saw that picture, I realized when I came here that actually it was correct. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is extremely merciful to people like us who fumble our way in out of the material world. He's very appreciative that, look at them. Thinking, look at me. And he's saying, look at them. In quite a different humor. Isn't that amazing? They've come, look at them. And we're thinking, Isn't it amazing? I've come. And he's thinking, it's amazing. Look at them. They have no culture. They've malechas, born malechas, raised malechas, still so many malecha habits, but they've come and they've taken up this path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me help them in any possible way that I can. So this humility, that as we develop it, is very, very sweet. It does wonders on reducing our false ego. It's amazing. And even though sometimes it's a bit bitter in the beginning, once we get the hang of it, it's very, very sweet. Because we can come to the lotus feet of people of this caliber, and we can pray there that, please, I'm so fallen. You can see, and I can see. Please, if you could help me in some way, it would be so wonderful. Because I too would like to become a genuine recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And a genuine Vaishnava, not a semblance of a Vaishnava, but somebody within whom Vaishnavism is very, very deep. And I have a firm affinity for serving the Absolute. So we can come to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's lotus feet here, or we can come to his lotus feet in many places. We'll see him in Jagannath Puri, we'll see him in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, we'll see him in our own temples at home in the picture form. And we should remember that we came here and we had his darshan. He saw us, we saw him, and that his blessings are there for us. His blessings, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessings, Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj's blessings. And with these blessings, we should really try to go deeply into our commitment to Krishna's service and to advancing in Krishna consciousness. So now I think we should very quickly make our way back to the Mayapur Chandradwaya Mandir.